Oh, well. I mean, we could have like a little section called Kurt's Watch.
Kurt's Watch?
Oh, no.
Now presenting the Webcomic Beacon Newscast.
Hello and welcome to episode 142 of the Webcomic Beacon. This is the Webcomic Beacon Newscast, the first time we're doing this, so we'll see how things go. And yes, we are hosted on the Rampage Network at rampagenetwork.com, and you can find everything Webcomic Beacon at webcomicbeacon.com. Boy, this show's already off to an all messed up start, but I'm Fess of Fessworks.com, and with me, I have two new hosts with me, particularly for the newscast. First up, we have Ross Scott of the system at systemcomic.com. Welcome to the show.
Hey, howdy. How's it going? I don't know. I couldn't think of anything clever.
That's okay. Well, you better think about it, because I'm going to try to make you the main host of this program.
I do a lot better when I'm screaming and shouting first. When I have to follow someone else, it's anyone's game.
Well,
now I have to follow that.
Well, next up, we do have...
Hey, it's Alex!
We have Alex Heberling of... Alex's Guide for a something-something life.
Alex'sGuide.net.
Alex'sGuide.net. Welcome to the show.
This is why you want me to host, right?
Well, no, I had it, and then I just remembered, oh, wait, there's a lot more to that title than just Alex's Guide.
Alex's Guide is sufficient. It's fine.
The real question is, what do you have to Google to get to it?
Alex's Guide. That's all you need.
There you go. There you go.
Well, let's type that in right now and see what we get. Alex's Guide.
Everybody wait while Fess Googles.
And, yeah, it is first. Okay.
Zing.
I was just going to see if we might get something else a little weirder. But,
if you Google my name, you get some article among the real search results. There's some article where some other Alex Heberling is quoted in this article from like South Africa about mental illness.
Oh, joyous.
Yeah. Huh. It's really
All I get is you for the first six links.
Mm-hmm.
If this is you from LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. Classmates. No, I don't see. No. It's just all you. But probably because I've been to your site a lot. Maybe it's choosing these.
Probably.
Oh,
Google's
anyway.
figured you out.
In any case, that's not what this show is about. This show is not another Webcomic Beacon Core episode. This is the newscast where where the idea is to bring up, report, and talk about a particular webcomic related, art related, or writing related news articles we find. Though I like to focus a little bit more on stuff that's mainly for webcomics or digital comics, as they were. But we have a few things. Basically, looking back about a month, we probably missed a lot. This is the first show, so we're going to see how this goes. So this is the Webcomic Beacon Newscast for November 14th, 2010. One big thing that caused a stir was a book released recently that had a lot of writers. It was it's a collaborated book, and a lot of the writers actually have webcomics as well. And it's called Machine of Death,
right?
And when it debuted, it became number one seller on Amazon.com and on other lists here and there for a while. And apparently Glenn Beck also had a book that came out during that time, too. And he got really pissed because he was, like, third place, and he normally debuts at first and was making all these accusations.
Well,
and
okay, so hold on. So there's a few things, there's a few subtleties to this story that kind of help explain it. First of all, Glenn Beck is, his constant state is angry. So to say he got angry about this really means more.
Yeah.
He shifted his anger to being about this for 5 minutes. And second of all, the fact that this premiered at number one was no accident. It was not a sheer popularity contest. This was crafted well-crafted by the people behind Machine of Death. They actually told all their subscribers, hey, the book's available, but don't buy it yet. If you have to, fine, but otherwise, wait. We're going to wait, and we're going to all buy it together on the same day so it can premiere at number one. And so they told all their fans to do just that, and they had enough big names providing it behind it to do the same thing that they were able to actually craft that. So if this is a story, it's not... the real story is that it's good strategy on the part of a lot of people who happen to write webcomics.
Yeah, and they chose the date to be on a day when there were few other books premiering, even though, you know, right, obviously any day a book will be premiering. But they specifically chose the date since there were no other major book releases at the time.
Yeah. Has anyone read the book yet?
I bought it. I'm a very bad reader. We'll see how far I can get into it. But maybe if it's short stories, it'll be easier. I have like a dyslexia where it's hard for me to... I read lines. So I can read, though. That's why I like comics. You know, the separated word balloons and the visual aids.
The press release that went along with it on Machine of Death's site, they actually went into how they're trying to use this to leverage to make more books and to basically take that popularity surge they got from it and push off of it for the next thing.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to be working because apparently they sold out at Amazon and they're going to have a second printing.
Yeah, well, I have no idea, but how many do you think that is? I mean, I don't actually know how many constitutes a printing. I know, like,
I'll guess at least 3,000. I'm going to guess at least 3,000. I'm thinking, like, when people get comic books printed, offset print, typically it's at 1 to 3,000, I think, for a fairly popular comic.
Mm-hmm.
And printing just... text has to be cheaper than that, so I'm going to guess they had at least 3,000.
Oh, yeah.
but who knows, really? Unless we ask them, I suppose.
Right. So the real question is, what does this mean for others, though? Given our audience, given the people who are going to be listening to this show, what does this mean for when other people go to release a book? Or why should people care, I guess, is the question.
I would say that this is slightly unique. I say there seems to be a good chance that if you write something good, it can sell. But you also have a book that has, like, what, 30, 40 different writers on there, all with their own followings and websites, making links for this, and thus adding to Google search results for assorted things. That certainly helps. So I would say that it's had a lot going for it with the multiple contributors.
The collaboration
aspect of it versus just say a single person has a story that goes out. But if anything, this also shows that, you know, nothing's impossible.
Well, you know, that's true. But you got to remember, this is put out by Ryan North and David Malky and Matthew Bernardo, who I gotta confess I haven't really heard of, but Ryan and David both, you know, have communities around them that, you know, are a bit willing to do their bidding, you know, as far as online communities go. And so if anything, like, that is how they did it. And that's a large part, I think, of what's behind it. Not to mention that, you know, it is an interesting case because normally anthologies can be kind of a mess, because getting that many creators together to do something, and then it winds up becoming so dispersed that it never gets done, or no one ever feels kind of any ownership to it at the end of the day. But this, they managed to actually really bring it together. But though I will say, it took a while. It took, I think it was a couple of years since they originally tried this idea and tried to get it out there until it actually came out. I think 2007 was when this book was finally either started or finished. I forget which. Maybe the whole thing. So patience, I guess, is the real message.
Oh, yeah. It's always
patience. The about page is dated July 2007.
Yeah.
And also on their site, since I guess because they sold out, they actually have it available for free to download as an ebook, and they are doing a podcast where they're basically reading a story each podcast.
They're doing the PDF thing and the podcast thing, which is, you know, I mean, it's been seen a lot. You know, the whole, hey, let's give our stuff out and maybe people will buy it mentality.
And if I could, I want to skip down what we have for our news all the way down to the 4chan thing.
I was going to say, should we skip ahead to that? Because that's pretty
should
much very
segue?
On topic.
It's very related. So.
I think we just did.
Yeah.
We'll get better at the segues, though this was pretty good.
This isn't actually going to be see the light of day, is it? No, keep going. So 4chan. So Periscope Studios Underground comic was put up in, I think, PDF collections on a 4chan thread. And there's a lot of ways as a creator that you can deal with that situation when that's happened to you. But in this case, it turned out pretty well because while traffic skyrocketed, so did sales. So as much as people were ripping it off, those people were ripping it off. And then a lot of them, a surprising percentage, were buying it. Isn't that interesting?
It is very cool. So I'm trying to keep quiet, so you keep going.
No. And then I say, hey, guys, what do you think?
I think it's very awesome, and I've not dealt with 4chan because of all the stories I hear about 4chan. So, I mean, worse than the stories I may hear from Something Awful.
Yeah, well, 4chan is like, I'm in the design business, and we use this thing called spray mount. You must learn to fear and respect the spray mount. It's like escalators and mall rats. You must fear and respect it, because if you don't, it will kill you. And the same is true for 4chan, pretty much. Though I loved the beginning of the thread, the 4chan thread. The guy who posted it first said, "Underground, it's like Die Hard, but in a cave." And that's how it starts. And then he posts a bunch of JPEGs and people start reading it from there. And it's interesting because this was something that happened very organically. You know, this wasn't the creator of Underground going onto the site and saying, hey, here, I'm going to go post it. Someone did it for him.
Mm-hmm.
But think how much it would change it if it was him. Like, if it was him, it would seem like shameless whoring and self-promotion, which, don't get me wrong, I'm a huge shameless self-promotion whore, systemcomic.com, but I even know that if you do that, you can invoke the wrath. It takes someone else doing that for you for it to actually work.
This is why
is that stealing feels better and more encouraging, and promotion feels dirty. Why does promotion, like, purposeful permission promotion feel dirtier than stealing?
I don't know.
Because I think, you know, we've got this whole sort of culture of modesty in the webcomics thing. I mean, I suffer from this greatly. I go to conventions and, you know, I do my best, but I feel kind of like a horrible person, you know, telling, you know, people that they should, you know, shut up about anime and read my comics instead. So yeah, I think that's a big part of it. It's like people don't care if you think that is good enough for them. It's like they need to find it on their own or something, I guess.
And Fess?
I have to disagree a little bit. There's a difference between that asshole that was on the webcomic list forums that would it would obviously and blatantly be starting threads, replying to threads, essentially basically just to have his, you know, avatar, his bigger banner to show up and everything. That was very, very shameless, and it was very negative. But there's also a difference between being shameless like that and also being able to engage an audience and kind of get them. I mean, look at, oddly enough, it didn't entirely work for, you know, Scott Pilgrim versus the World, but they did a lot of, like, you know, pre-screenings and surprise engagements and just showing people and everything like that. You know, it was like the biggest downloaded movie ever. But
the story that's come out of that is, or the, what I've heard said as a recap, and this hasn't been like statistically studied or anything, is that yes, that they got the message out and they got the buzz out, but then all the people that would go see the movie, they'd already showed it to for free. You know,
I don't entirely.
And I don't know if movies is allowed to be the same thing. I mean, look at Boondock Saints. Boondock Saints was a movie that was pulled before its time and then spread like crazy on the internet and became a whole kind of sensation.
I suppose. I mean, the one thing to look here is to take a look at what the DVD sales and Blu-ray sales are going to be.
Right.
Because I have a feeling they're going to blow the box office numbers out of the water.
Mm-hmm.
Part of it probably was also a lot of people went to go see The Expendables instead. It's like, I saw The Expendables first, and it was like, you know, that wasn't all that really good. And then last minute, just, okay, let's see Scott Pilgrim, like, right now. And we had to, like, jump right over to the next theater. And I was like, okay, now I feel better about
coming
to the movies.
So you didn't even pay for it?
No, I did.
Did you do a double
feature? I did. I had ran all the way up to the counters, like, two for Scott Pilgrim, the one they just started.
Oh, you theater hopped it. Okay. Oh, you didn't theater hop it.
I did pay for it. And I actually went to go see it two more times.
Nice.
So, but I think it can work. It's a matter of engaging, and of course, I guess in this case, not doing it too much. I guess might be more of the lesson.
It's a tricky little tightrope.
It is.
It really is. Mm-hmm. I mean, especially when you deal with places like 4chan, where there's such a culture that existing there already that if you try and go into it, you can't. But then again, we have seen examples of a comic being part of a community and coming out of that community and becoming popular outside of it. Like Dr. McNinja is the biggest example I can think of, because that started on the Something Awful forums, started as a joke and a thing that was happening on the Something Awful forums, and then from there incubated enough to have enough of an audience that when it formed its own site, it could, you know, kind of keep going.
I need to apologize for our live audience as a... I had the wrong audio source selected for our live show, and so they weren't hearing everything we were saying so far, and so I do want to apologize for that, but there's still much more to talk about.
Wait, there's a live audience for this?
There is a live audience. We are broadcasting live on Ustream.
Holy crap. Is there like a chat feed and everything?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, should I be tweeting this out then?
Well, you could. You could go to webcomicbeacon.com/live should take you to the links that you need. Basically,
I blogged about it.
Basically, right now, what we did talk about, we talked about Machine of Death, and also that Periscope Studios Underground comic written by Steve Leiber. I wanted to get that information out there as well. We talked about that article as well. So that's all we've talked about so far. I also want to mention that Eric, a.k.a. Dromos, of extern.com, EXIERN.com, is basically being a news hound for this podcast as well. And so I wanted to make sure to get that credit out there, because a lot of the articles that we have for discussion today, he did find. And I also want to mention that if anybody that has a webcomic and thusly makes a book out of their comic... you can let us know at webcomicbeacon.com, webcomicbeacon@gmail.com, if you have either pre-orders starting or it's readily newly readily available. So basically it's, you know, a press release or a book release. You can let us know and we'll give that a mention at least. So let's see here.
So do that.
So do that. And
Get your books.
There is just one book release that we have so far right now. It's Least I Could Do, Book 7, which is, I believe, it's shipping this December, so they're taking pre-orders right now, $20. We'll post a link to it in the show notes for this. So the title of this volume is I Can't Help You There. So if you're a fan of Least I Could Do, you probably already know about this. But there you go. That's pretty much what we'll do if we get book release, press releases, or however you're supposed to say that.
Yeah, so expect that, but smoother, because we'll have done it before.
Absolutely. This is a very experimental episode. So far, I like how it's going, only let's do it better next time sort of vibe. But
yeah, the different but better. I like it.
Different but better.
I'm still deciding on a few musical aspects for the show, but I think it's pretty much going to be Webcomic Beacon stuff. But we'll see. So with that in mind, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll tackle more of the news and hopefully get into some discussion later.
The Webcomic Beacon is hosted on the Rampage Network. A webcomics host and community at rampagenetwork.com. And don't forget, we broadcast live on Sundays at webcomicbeacon.com/live. Join our live chat room, have news reports or Becky art, transmit them to webcomicbeacon@gmail.com. Questions? Dial our voicemail at 1-320-310-0922.
We covered Machine of Death, so we can go into PayPal, Stan Lee. By the way, can we talk about Rob Liefeld's new webcomic? Please.
Oh God. You're kidding.
I have not heard about
this. You didn't hear about this?
No.
Oh my God, you guys. Okay.
I need a link. I need a link.
Can we start with that? Can I just like
Yeah, we can.
Okay, let's do
I'll
it.
I'll save it. We can naturally like bring it up.
Yeah, go for it. We're already recording, so
Okay, so you guys, I have the best piece of news I can possibly share. Fess, Alex, internet community, Rob Liefeld. Yes, that Rob Liefeld has
the
come
Rob
back
Liefeld.
And he's graced our presence with the best webcomic ever. And by best webcomic ever, I mean worst webcomic ever. Because it is about Zombie Jesus. And it is called, wait for it. Zombie Jesus. That's right. That's right. RobLiefeldCreations.com, his website, because he creates things there, now features Zombie Jesus. They're up to part 4 of the story. It is in black and white and grayscale, you know, a little watercolor action. And it is about Jesus coming back from the dead as a zombie. It features no feet, because as everyone knows, Rob Liefeld hates strong feet. Few pouches so far, but lots of shiny armor. So he's keeping true to his roots a bit.
Cross-hatching, I hope.
Oh, yes. You got your cross-hatching action. We have yet to see any, like, women turned with, like, showing their ass and their boobs at the same time. Like, hasn't happened yet, but give it time, you know? I mean, the Virgin Mary hasn't shown up yet as a zombie, but you never know. But yeah, it's RobLiefeldCreations.com has all the details you need on Rob Liefeld's insert adjective that you want here webcomic.
Oh, really, there's one foot on the last page on the front page.
It's true, but then after that, all under a layer of smoke
and boulders and stuff.
It's true. Well, what really sucks is I'm trying to find the name. There actually already is a Zombie Jesus related webcomic. Let me see if I can find it. I feel so bad because the whole point of me mentioning it is that it already exists and shouldn't be like taken away from this person that's been already creating it.
There's
Living Tales of Zombie Jesus, which can be found at zeejay.comicgenesis.com.
What was the name of that one? What was the name of the one you just said?
Oh, another zombie. Just Googled Zombie Jesus.
Okay.
As we all have on occasion.
Probably Zombie Jesus comic as opposed to just Zombie Jesus. Because there's lots of like Easter-related things coming up.
Wow. Okay. Searches related to Zombie Jesus on Google. include. I love this. Raptor Jesus. Sweet Zombie Jesus. Zombie Jesus comic, Zombie Jesus t-shirt, and my favorite, Cosmic Jewish Zombie. I have no idea why that's related.
I don't know. I get Zombie Jesus Day, Zombie Jesus is back.
Well.
Encyclopedia entry.
The point is, we've all been waiting patiently with bated breath for Rob Liefeld to produce something new that we could all make fun of. And now he's graced us with his presence, and it is called Zombie Jesus. That's really all you
need.
Thank
you, Rob Liefeld. Thank you.
That's the news of it, really. All right. Everything else does not matter.
My life is
by the way, Blastorama, which is blast-o-rama.com, run by my own friend Marty Day, is what broke the story to me. Just
I think you mean
credit.
Marty Effin Day.
Marty Effin Day, that's correct.
Yep.
As he's known on the internet. Yeah. Okay. Well, we can go right now. Fess, you wanted to bring up PayPal?
Yeah. PayPal has finally introduced a micropayment system. I guess it's not finally introduced a micropayment system, but finally developed something that where you can have realistic fees for, you know, when you wanted to sell $1 items. Except it's only as a subscription and for items less than $12. So you can get realistic fees for less than $12, but as a subscription model and not like a $1
wallpaper. Actually, I was looking at that last night, and it will be available for single item purchases.
Really? Yes!
Not just subscriptions.
Yay! Because yeah. Otherwise selling like $1 or something would be like 34 cents. And it's like, that's bullshit. Mm-hmm.
And now it'll only cost like 10 cents.
Hooray!
Under their pricing model for the micropayments. Or rather, system for selling digital goods is what they're calling it.
Okay, so let me play the role of the person who hasn't read the story. Now, actually, I have, but just someone needs to play that role for the audience.
Okay.
So, okay, they've already had subscriptions available. I know I've seen on webcomic sites that you can have subscriptions so people can subscribe and you can have some sort of you know, monthly income thing going. So how is this different?
I don't know. I didn't read the article.
Really? Okay. Well, I could answer my own question. Alex, do you know how this
is
different?
Yes. It really breaks down to the fees incurred by the seller. If you have a sort of subscription model, basically their regular fees are about 3% of the total cost of the purchase plus 30 cents. So if you're selling something for $10, then the fees on that are going to be about 60 cents. And under their new pricing model for micropayments, anything under $12 is eligible for the digital goods pricing, which is, let's see, 5 cents plus 5%. So that same $10 purchase would only cost the seller 55 cents? Wait,
as opposed to $1.60?
As opposed to $1.60, yeah.
Yeah, right.
So it's a matter of expanding the potential usage of their of PayPal versus scaring people away from
yeah,
their
does
exactly.
It have to be a digital good for it to qualify? Or do they care? Like, for example, could I sell pins on my site for hilaraawesome.com? Could I sell pins on my site for, you know, $5 and then what would I get charged even though it's not a digital good?
The thing with PayPal's wording, because once you sign up for a business thing, there's no going back versus getting the way they did the fees. I really hated it. So you really can't go back to normal PayPal. But there's always a selection, like, what is this for? Services, goods, or like a purchase versus personal. And if you wanted to, like, send somebody money that you owe them, like if I were buying books from somebody, it's a purchase. But if I select purchase, they're going to get charged. And I don't feel they should get charged, so I'll do personal. So they don't get charged because personal transfers don't incur any fees. However, when you
but that's
when
not
you,
exactly true.
No. You really unless they changed it recently, and I mean very
no,
recently.
No, well, what happens
I think
is
the fees
when
are
you go to take
between.
Out the money, when you go to take out the money, you get charged.
Well,
so,
no, that's only. You only get charged if you take out the money, if you take it out in a certain way. If you just say, yeah, I want to withdraw the money, and then you wait the week or whatever for it to go through the process, that's free. If you want to take it out other ways, otherwise it's all one big pot. You know, it's when you take it out, there's like two or three different options. When you're sending, you can select personal, and they won't get charged a fee. However, if you're buying something and you select personal, well, then it doesn't count as a purchase, and then there's no purchase security that's offered through PayPal if you get screwed, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So there's, you know, I'm pretty sure that the same aspect will go for this micropayment sort of thing. If they find out they're not really digital, I don't know. Maybe they'll get on your ass about it. I'm not entirely sure, but otherwise, I don't think nothing can really stop you, unless they look and say, hey, you're in violation of blah blah blah. If they actually look,
okay,
that's all I can think of.
Fingers crossed, then, that they're just not looking.
And one of the other good things about this is that from the wording on the product page, it seems like you'll actually be able to you won't have to go through one of PayPal's usual gateways. You'll be able to just sort of do it in like two clicks and not leave the, you know, seller's web site. Page. Yeah. Exactly.
Right. I think they've been
updating
their code.
And it'll be integratable with various third-party shopping cart softwares.
Yeah.
Right.
That's just mostly a code update, I think, to make it easier.
Well, that'll be a big difference, because I know my site, right now, the only way I knew how to run it was through PayPal. So you buy something, that takes you over to PayPal, and then you click through and it takes you back. And it's awkward, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, you're leaving the site, and that creates an awkward experience. And I don't have data to back this up, but just from my user experience on other sites and what have you, there's probably a lot of users being lost through that process. So if they manage now to avoid that entirely,
right,
chances are that sales in general should go up.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Tree Lobsters in the chat room is wondering if you could use that as a tip jar. So they actually already have donation options, but the fact is that this should actually lower the price, which means that more money should get to the users, which is good.
Yeah, that's another thing. I mean, it probably should still be usable as a tip jar. If people use tip jars, I don't like tip jars. I think that if you're going to be begging for money, you should be offering something.
They already offering something?
Potentially, but I see the tip jar used a little bit too liberally. By anyone, I do mean people that probably really shouldn't be having it on their site, especially when they just start. And I'm not talking about like the really highly skilled like artists and everything. I'm talking about your average Joe webcomic just starting, and I personally don't think the art is up to snuff for to have a tip jar. But that's my opinion.
So what you're saying is I should have a tip jar. Or I shouldn't have a tip jar. I'm not sure which category I fall to. Okay,
It's touching.
Users should go check out the PayPal information. It's all it'll be in our show notes.
Yes.
To a link to Business Wire, which covers it pretty thoroughly.
Mm-hmm. They have the press release there, so it's
nice and official.
So yeah, right there.
Mm-hmm.
We probably should move on. That took a lot longer than I thought, but speaking of firsts into webcomics, we have a couple of more.
That's right, true believers.
Oh,
that was my horrible Stan Lee impression. That's right, true believers. Stan Lee and MTV are now announcing a new thing, property comic thing, called The Seekers, which will be a part of their new MTV Geek series. And
the website.
Yeah. Is this Stan Lee's actually first webcomic?
It sounds like it. If you go to mtv.com/geek, that is where it's going to be. It was just announced at New York City Comic Con, so nothing's there yet. But this is MTV's sort of way to try to get into the geek culture, obviously. And somehow they wrangled Stan Lee to do a webcomic. So he's obviously being paid by somebody. If Stan Lee would ever up and do a webcomic on his own, like most of us do, I don't know if
I'm
he ever
sure
would,
it would,
but
be something like Zombie Jesus.
Well, I'm not sure if he ever would, but obviously he's being already automatically paid in this joint venture to begin with. So I'm kind of wondering if Stan Lee would have ever considered this if it was just like on his own versus someone paying him to do it. You know.
Okay, so a few things there. First of all, I was at New York Comic Con, and Stan Lee was everywhere. I have never seen a man of his advanced age be in so many places.
Well, are you sure you weren't thinking about fake Stan Lee? Because fake Stan Lee might have been there, too.
I also saw fake Stan Lee, but a few fake Stan Lees, in fact.
Oh, wow.
It was a popular costume this year. It was like Naruto headbands and fake Stan Lee. But the real thing was he was there promoting, I think, this nonprofit organization thing called the Stan Lee Foundation, okay, and his new Power Entertainment stuff, which includes this new property. I think he's broke and lonely is what's going on. It's a little hard to say, but the man's everywhere. But what's interesting about this new comic and introducing it with MTV is that MTV has put itself in a very odd position where they're currently both content critics and content providers. They have a lot of MTV news stuff. Like, most of their online presence has been a lot of media related when it comes to creation. They've done a lot of there's MTV Splash Page, which covers comics and comics related news and comics turning into movies and that kind of stuff. And so it's weird to have both Comic Review and comics. Then again, all three of us are doing that right now. But you know, it is kind of an interesting thing for them to be coming out with this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think?
Yeah, there's that, and there's also the quote-unquote digital comic, which I would like to talk about. That
term. It's like, oh, it's not a webcomic.
It's not a webcomic. It's a digital. It's not a comic. It's a graphic novel. It's fucking comics. It's what it is. Who cares? But you know, it's a marketing thing. I don't know. I'm sorry. That's just something that pisses me off a little bit.
What, when people use the phrase digital comic?
Well, it's like, I understand the whole purpose of it, and it's like, well, I see what you're trying to do, but you're also belittling what everybody else, and you're trying to fancy up what it actually is. Digital comic. I will say the ones that can probably have an excuse for being digital comics specifically, mm-hmm, are the ones that were already print comics and that they're now scanning in. Like Comixology, which mm-hmm, was Zuda Comics, which was owned by DC. They're starting to have their backlog of print comics available on that site. I could call those digital comics easy because they weren't web comics. Web comics, it's right there, web comic. It's presented on the web. That's its first and foremost avenue. You know, that it's a matter of, you know, presentation. I can get behind a graphic novel when it's like a compilation of, you know, because it's like bigger and thicker, like you'd expect a novel would be. So I can get that, but
it's a fat comic.
Yeah, but if you're just,
I'm sorry,
like,
it's a fat comic.
It's a fat comic.
Fat comic. I don't know.
What does that mean?
It's lots of pages.
Fatter than regular comics.
It's like a phone book fat, you know, thick.
Yeah.
Thick. Fat.
Oh, that it has a low self esteem and compensates by eating.
Now.
Anyway, okay, that's just my ranty self, so I'll step away now.
Okay, well, yeah, you know, I guess my question is, like, what is... Okay, Stan Lee's doing this, I guess, for a paycheck?
Probably.
You know, like, what's the rationale for each of them, you know, Stan Lee and Pout and MTV? You know, I guess I can see Stan Lee, well, you know, he's just getting everything out there he can these days. He'll come up with an idea and...
Yeah, he's going to die soon, so he'll
be announced.
He's old.
What's that?
He's old. He's going to die soon. He wants to get some more properties out there. I have no idea. I can't infer about Stan Lee, whether how much of him is money-driven, how much of him is artistically driven. It'd be interesting to see if he'd answer that question, actually. I'm not a big print comic follower. I don't follow Stan Lee's stuff about Stan Lee, so I can't say for sure, but I can say that it'd be interesting to know.
Well, the interesting thing is going to be to see what MTV Geek decides to do with their new space. I mean, already you can go there and it's full of reviews and starting to have comics there as well. But will people – I guess the real question is, do you guys think that people will go to a kind of big brand site like MTV for news like this? Because this kind of news, I think people like the validity of – the normal person doing the work, you know.
I think it's likenable to San Diego Comic-Con. It's probably not the best area for like comic books in general, since it isn't. Because it's basically Comic-Con is movie based on Comic-Con. Basically, that's all it really is. But it does draw a particular audience that may not particularly know about comics, and because MTV already has its followers, it, you know, could expose people that aren't really, haven't been into comics before. Maybe it'll help expand the audience. As far as, like, the people already right now that pay attention to comics, I don't see them migrating. That's my opinion.
Yeah, I feel like it's just as simple as MTV trying to tap into an untapped market.
Yeah.
All right. All right, well, let's move on to the next thing then. Speaking of digital comics, Heavy Metal Magazine, most famous for that chick on the cover, Riding the Dragon, I guess.
probably most famous for Heavy Metal Magazine, you know.
Yeah, most famous for being Heavy Metal Magazine. Yeah.
The world's has just foremost adult illustrated first, fantasy magazine.
What's that?
Sorry, I think we have a delay in our speaking. I was just they
of
quote
course
them,
we do. It's Skype. Skype is like born with a delay.
No, I think it's worse than when I'm with Mark or Tanya. Maybe
it's
could
just
be
me then.
Could be how many connections we have to you.
Gee, thanks, Bess.
No, but not you. You're not.
Should I start talking about boobs?
You're not. You're not laying. I just think me and Ross are.
Alex, what are your thoughts on boobs? There we go.
Boobs are awesome. I love boobs.
There you go.
Okay, wait. Let's not pull an MTV 2 where it was supposed to be about music and then it just up being MTV 2.
Webcomic Beacon 2.
So this is Webcomic Beacon newscast. And I was just saying the Heavy Metal Magazine's quote is the world's foremost adult illustrated fantasy magazine. Woo.
Yeah.
That's all I was going to
say. So, yeah, they just announced this new digital comic. There's the term again. Digital comic called Gates. Heavy Metal presents Gates, officially.
Yeah.
Because the word Gates just wasn't long enough. And it's launching at gatesthecomic.com.
Mm-hmm.
Also, gates.something.something.
Heavymetal.com.
Right? Heavymetal.com.
Gates.heavymetal.com. Yeah. Which... what do you think? Is it going to be about Bill Gates? Do we know?
It's about a guy named Gates. I know that much.
Oh, it is?
Yeah. The main character.
Well, what's crazy about it... Oh, go ahead. Sorry. The main character.
The main character is... Let's see. About the comic. Let's go there. I just read the same.
Gates is a young man in his early 20s, living a wretched existence within a small colony of humans. Okay, so we're sci-fi. There's colonies. He has spent his entire life using his intelligence and instincts to keep his unique physiological ability hidden. What unique physiology? Oh, well, I guess we'll get to that. Anyway, it goes on and on. The important thing, though, it doesn't launch until January. You can't actually read it for another over a month.
Yeah, they have a bunch of concept art up.
Yeah.
Including a nice chick in a bikini.
Yeah. By the way,
it's really very pretty and happy.
Yeah, Hal Hefner is the writer and illustrator behind the new comic. So props to him, I guess.
Eric, our news hound, said he knew the guy who was doing the comic, so that's how I heard about it. And I was like, I don't know, it's not really news. Oh wait, it's Heavy Metal's first. Yeah, that counts as news. So,
well, you know, one thing that I think is interesting, if you go to their site, it looks a lot like Comic Press. It is Comic Press.
It has the default navigation button still.
It's exactly, that's how I recognize this.
But they just took off the footer, I think.
They did take off the footer, so they're not giving credit where credit's due. But there is something kind of interesting about the fact that this, you know, big company like Heavy Metal, I don't know how big they actually are, but you know, this established name like Heavy Metal is choosing to use Comic Press. I mean, good for Comic Press, I guess, but seems a little odd to see it so unskinned right now. So you guys should go check out the site. It's over at gatesthecomic.com.
Yeah, Dromo says once is just reminding us. Yeah, Heavy Metal is presenting it. They have is not produced by
Heavy Metal.
This is usually what presents means. It's like the publisher. Producer, you know, the like a producer of a movie, you know, they throw all the money into it and they put their name at the top, and they may or may not have actually had anything to do with the actual creation, like say the writer, director. That's me ranting again. Anyway,
I guess the real question is, what is Hal getting out of the deal? If they're not producing it, then I guess that means more freedom. But is he just slapping the name on it in like? To help get more viewers and readership? I mean, more power to him if he is.
It's hard to say because there's no ads on the website at all.
Well, I'm positive it's a matter of Heavy Metal looking into getting more into the online comic market. And if somebody's doing something kind of in the vein of what they would do, you know, it's a least costly venture for them to try if somebody else is also heeding some of the risk as well. So I see this as an experiment, and in the future, if successful, I expect to see more actually produced by Heavy Metal, or maybe Heavy Metal, you know, continuing to do this, which would be very cool.
Well, it does
seeking,
you know,
like talent seeking.
Well, I will say this seems to be a lot more like a webcomic than the other digital comics we've discussed, because this is you know, it's running through a comic press site. It's run by one artist. The artist, if you go to the site, it has that kind of personal feel that you get when you read someone's personal site, you know, where he talks about himself in a good, you know, personal way, where he talks about like how he came up with the idea and things like that. And also, I thought this was really cool. They put the Gates soundtrack on the side, so you can actually listen to a song that's like the official theme song.
Awesome.
I think more webcomics need theme songs, I guess is the point.
Well, we have a theme song, but, you know, we don't have a comic.
Webcomics! That's our theme song.
No. The webcomic beacon, you know, beep, 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 boop.
Boop, boop, boop. Wait, no, that's the Skype thing.
Anyway.
This is when we fade to the theme, right? Like right here?
No, because we still have to come back for another segment. We're going to take another break. When we come back, we're going to have a couple of discussion points we're going to try to get through. And then we'll see how things go with that. So we'll be right back. We'll be right back.
A couple more weeks, we'll be all over this.
Yeah, I'm thinking that we're totally gonna have to seek and try to do this every 2 weeks, just to have a shorter show. Yeah. It's been just as long as the regular webcomic began. Yeah, Mark was in the pod in the chat room and he's like, are we doing a show today? He's like, no, sorry, Mark, you're not on this show.
We don't need you, Mark.
Even I'm going to try to not be on the show or not as much. I don't need to be on everything I do. So I was seeking new talent, you know. This is the Webcomic Beacon newscast. Coming up, I'm working with Adam Smithy of Apple of Discord and also Apple Valley to be bringing tropes, memes, and challenges, basically, of the Webcomic Beacon EP programming. And so we'll see how this goes. Alex, I think you said you were interested on that one, too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we'll try out on that one. And so basically, I'm kind of talent scouting a little bit. We got to see how things go, how things flow. And essentially, Webcomic Beacon has three different properties right now, and I'm hoping they'll be really good because, I don't know, I worry about competition and the Webcomic Beacon pod fading due to obsolescence.
I really don't think that's going to happen. I mean, you know, you're producing shows every week, so.
I mean, true, but.
It's a huge advantage right there. It's just repetition.
Well, yeah, repetition.
Too. Yeah,
you're repetition.
Yeah, the Webcomic Beacon presents a news. So anyway, we have a couple of bits of discussion before we head out here. Well, let's talk about the one about women getting into the adult comic business first, though.
Okay.
I already knew about Filthy Figments has been around for a while. Longer, I think, you know, maybe 2-3 months. I don't quite remember. I'm very bad with time. But basically, it's adult comics, adult web comics produced by women, and they were thinking, should we allow guys on or not? And then I think they ultimately decided, no, let's just be a girls' club sort of thing. I don't know. But recently, they did add like a preview section, so you can take a look and then, you know, subscribe. You know, it's kind of like how Slipshine is. So. I do have to say, I did subscribe to Filthy Figments for the like when they first started and everything. I was reading the comics, and I've never subscribed to Slipshine before, but I have read a lot of their previews and such. And it was weird because I seem to recall Slipshine having a little bit more. I don't know setup or story. I don't know. It was kind of weird. A lot of the stuff that I was reading on Filthy Figments was just kind of like right to the. Well, it was kind of involved, but then it was like each page was getting a little bit more detailed. So they have very different feels so far as far as what I saw. Still a lot of variety, very good in my opinion, and that's one thing. But a Spike of a Templar Arizona is basically putting together an anthology of new adult webcomics strictly by women creators called The Smut Peddler.
I love that name.
Well, that's a name only Spike could come up with.
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't think that's all that she could come up with it. I think that's only she could get away with.
Mm.
I don't know. What do you guys think of this development? Is it development or is it just coming out now?
Well, you know, I mean, let's back up a sec. So Spike has, of course, Templar Arizona, which she's very much known for. And I think they're on book 4 right now. She's also the one of the driving forces behind Poorcraft. Well, the driving force behind Poorcraft, which is book that she's been working on for a while through Kickstarter, to show people how they can, make a living as an artist, I guess, and live poorly. I'm not doing it justice.
Live poorly.
I do that now.
Living poorly, not done poorly.
Living as a starving artist without starving.
There you go. Kind Being of. A starving artist without starving. That's a good way to put it. I think that was their tagline. Anyway, so she's got those two in the works, and now she's going in yet another direction, which I think is really interesting. You have a lot of webcomic artists these days kind of branching out in new ways. And this, though, I think is interesting, to go from an audience to a, you know, more specific audience. You know, I mean, by going to it to something that's going to be behind a paywall, and, you know, going to be, it is, well, it's not behind a paywall, I'm sorry, but it's going to be an anthology, so. That really does change the game. And it gets back to what we were saying before about anthologies, how, you know, sometimes they can be really effective because you get the power of all those creators, and sometimes mm-hmm. quite the opposite, because it's hard to get that many artists to do something.
That's true.
The popular metaphor of herding cats.
Yeah.
Yes, herding cats.
I've tried to do a couple of group projects, and I think they mostly failed because I was hoping that, you know, other people would maintain the enthusiasm and continue to keep doing things, and no, that didn't work. You kind of have to have somebody with the whip saying, make comics, get to work, I guess.
Art, artists, art!
Yeah, I've tried lots of things, and lots of things have failed, and but I will never stop trying things.
So, yeah, well, are there any pages posted or anything like that that people can go check out?
It's going to be print. I don't think there's previews yet, if there are going to be any. But it sounds like a very progressive, ambitious. It sounds like a very ambitious project, and it'll certainly something will be seen around. Once it starts getting finished and going, and she starts taking it to conventions and such, it'll be interesting to see. I'm not sure if there's any other sort of. I'm not sure what other kind of, like, adult comics you see, like printed adult comics that you see. I'm not in that crowd. I guess I don't know. Is there a market for printed comic porn?
Yes.
Yeah.
No, printed. I mean, I have, yeah. Okay. I have no idea. I don't.
Fess is trying to seem so innocent right now.
No, I really don't. I mean, I know there's tons of stuff on the internet.
It's not like I own 10 volumes.
I know there's stuff on the internet. Yeah, that's and, you know, you'll find every sexual fetish thing online. But I guess I never really thought about printed, you know, comic sexy stories and adult stuff. I don't know. Maybe I'm just naive. I don't get out to the porn stores as much.
There's a huge collection of that kind of thing. In fact, I know a lot of comic shops that have their own area devoted to kind of adult comics, you know? And it's funny kind of because that's up to the comic book shop owner what they decide to put in that section. so sometimes it's a few, you know, normal serious comics that just happen to have a little bit of nudity in them. And sometimes it's, you know, tentacle porn. You never know.
By the way, of which, there is tentacle porn on the Filthy Figment site.
True. A date with tentacle porn, even.
Yes.
I think it's called A Date with a Tentacle. Is that what it was called?
Tentacle Monster. Like that. I don't know. They're dating anyway. So yeah. it's not just rape. It's not rape. So if rape's your thing, sorry.
Yeah.
Actually, but you're likely not going to find that on that site at all.
They're trying to be much more progressive than that.
Yeah.
Here's the real thing about Smut Peddler that I think's interesting. They say right out of the gate, you can do your submissions and then you get paid per page at $50 per page, which is a pretty good going rate, I think, for a lot of artists.
That's
to consider.
Why I say it's progressive with how many hundreds of pages. I mean, that's a lot of initial bank.
Yeah, definitely a lot of initial bank. But then the assumption, I guess, is that Spike is taking on all the investment, and then any amount that gets made, you know, is on her to make. Whereas, so the artists get paid either way, so they don't necessarily have much.
So there's kind not, of it's not
investment
split.
In pushing it forward beyond that because they're already paid.
All right, that's what I was kind of wondering, whether or not it was split then after that point, or if it was strictly we're buying, that's what you get paid for. Yeah, I mean, it works both ways. I think that's how a lot of artists get paid anyway. They may get paid initially. I'm not sure if that many in the webcomics world, unless you with a team that you trust to go along with a similar project to then split the profits thereafter. But it's usually not a compilation like that. So,
well, I will say, like, as an artist, that it's a really odd thing to go into something like that and try and figure out those sorts of deals. And right. It's kind of handy, though, that it's right up front, right there. You're getting $50 page, the end, you know? Nice and simple. You don't have to worry about keeping track of, oh, well, I made $20 on this one, so here's 5 cents or something, whatever it is. It's nice and up front. But it does obviously hurt the investment of the artist to help spread it once it finally comes out, whenever that is.
Right.
Submissions aren't finally due until June 30th, so we won't see this thing for at least probably another 8 months, more like a year.
Yeah, probably. Well, we'll see how things go next year.
Yeah, but good luck to him. Yep. Does this mean I can qualify for a press copy since I'm on the show? Could I ask for that from someone?
I'm not sure, but I know.
Universe,
I'm not
help
sure.
Me out.
I'm not sure. I know Mark has volunteered already to be our physical comic reviewer. But I'm not sure. I haven't really figured
out. Oh, I wasn't going to review it. I just thought as press they could just give it to me or something. I'm cheap.
So you just want one to have.
Yeah,
but it would have to be reviewed. If we ever get any copies.
While I'm alone.
If we ever get any copies, it has to be reviewed. We're not just going to up and take. Of course, if it's bad, it has to be reviewed as well. That's the only thing. I guess for those who are interested, they can contact the Webcomic Beacon for more information. But there's one last bit of discussion, and there's two bits. We'll get to the first one though first.
Good order.
Did you what?
That's a good order. Start with the first one.
Oh, okay. There's apparently something on comiXology.com talking about 10 things you need to know about the future of comics, comics in general. And apparently the webcomic Overlook had an extended discussion on top of that. And did you guys check this out?
Mm-hmm.
I did, in fact.
I'll hand it off to you guys then.
Alex?
Well, I think it's very interesting, hearing about, Shannon Garrity's opinions and, predictions on all this. Whether they're relevant to myself as a webcomic artist, I'm not sure, just because I'm the kind of creator where I'm just kind of keeping my head down and trying to sort of make my own way and figure out where I stand in the whole webcomics industry at the moment. And, the rebuttal that Webcomic Overlook was also interesting to hear. It's kind of a lot of the things that you hear about comics and the decline of print and newspapers and
well,
that
let's
kind
go
of thing.
Through that list.
What was that?
Let's go through the list, just the bold points, so people know what we're talking about.
All right. Well, the basics over at Comixology, number one, newspaper comics are dead. Number two, monthly comic books are dead. Number three, format is infinitely mutable. The audience is infinitely fragmented, but there is canon. It's number five. Number six, superheroes are not comic book characters. Number seven, manga has changed the game. Number eight, the line between fans and creators is razor thin. Number nine, they are mostly girls. The fans, I guess she means. Which
I think that's what the
creators.
Means.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The creators? The creators are, I do not think, are mostly girls.
Well, number 10 is they're very good at making comics.
Oh, they are very good at making comics. But I think if you did a total survey, I don't think you'd find that the majority of making them are girls. I think it's more the readers are girls.
I'm not sure about that. I would need to see the numbers, and I think numbers are fairly impossible.
Number nine is kind of unclear whether she's talking about fans or creators.
I think she's talking about fans because she starts the one before it with fans, and then she says they are mostly girls. Publishers, be ready for this. So, you need to market to those girls is how I took that. But anyway, and number 10, they're very good at making comics. So I guess it is still a little ambiguous, but I take that as the comics readers, surprisingly, are also comics writers. I think more so now than ever. And I think the webcomics movement speaks to that a lot, that so many of us that read the comics are creators ourselves.
Yeah, I definitely agree and relate to that.
So are any of these 10 points things that you guys really have any issue with, Alex?
Let's see. I've seen a lot of dispute over number 5, the fact that there is or is not a canon. And the fact that, for example, Naruto and Death Note are only popular because there was other media of them, which is sort of covered in number 6. Superheroes are not comic book characters. The point in number 6 is that there are characters in movies and TV shows, and we know superheroes more from the other media that they have spurned, not necessarily that they came from comics. And I've seen lots of discussion of that with Naruto and Death Note and other anime properties like that.
Yeah, I think, you know, we are entering kind of a generation that's less connected to comics and more connected to the things off of comics. I mean, you have more movies now than ever, more things off of the movies and the cartoon shows. And you also enter a generation that format doesn't matter to them like it used to. I don't think they care where they're getting their stories as long as they're getting their stories. And if sometimes the image is moving, sometimes the image is interactive, sometimes the image is on a page, you know, I don't think the young people nowadays with their Facebooks and their Twitters, I don't think they care.
Yeah.
There's the flip side to this is that, you know, Webcomic Overlook at webcomicoverlook.com has rebutted with their own top 10 things, and actually I like theirs better, though I don't agree with either one completely. If I may go over this on Webcomic Overlook starts off with number 1, boys will eventually find a way to make it in webcomics, thus, you know, saying that women are definitely the ones making it in webcomics right now, which, again, you know, I don't know the numbers. I don't know where to find the numbers. There's well over 15,000 webcomics online, so it's, yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Well, I think it is at this point in some ways easier to stand out as a girl. For whatever reason, the fact that you're a girl and doing webcomics is like, oh, I'm doing webcomics and I'm a girl. Look at that, you know?
Look at my ladiness.
Because the default is that you're not, right?
Right,
the default,
I suppose.
Yeah. Webcomics, then, there's no women on the internet.
So you're the difference if you're female. Like, Alex, have you ever gotten a part of any, like, well, I'm a female creator? I mean, we just talked about a all-female.
Well, I mean, having a gender-neutral first name, I definitely get some people thinking I'm a dude at first.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't heard Alex used as a female's name since, I think, Saved by the Bell.
So I was going to say Wings. But not the
wait.
Band,
let me finish
show.
Going through this 10 list before we tangent too far.
Yes, let's do that.
Number 2, webcomic canon will in fact replace existing comics canon. Again,
I think in certain circles it's already done that.
Between the two, maybe this is a different discussion point. I'm not entirely sure what they're talking about. But moving on to not sidetrack, webcomic creators. Number 3, webcomic creators need to be picked up to be translated into other media, TV, movies, and video games. Fair point. The infinite canvas will die, he claims. I don't know. Video game comics will completely disappear from the World Wide Web. Again, I don't know. A regular schedule will become even more important than ever. Some argue differently. Web 7, comics will gravitate towards corporate entities. I hope not. 8, webcomics will actually be key into injecting life into the moribund manga industry. I don't know what moribund is, but okay, I'm going to say something stagnant.
Boring, stagnant.
Okay.
Exactly.
Not changing.
Number 9, eventually, some enterprising webcomic creators are going to band together and create a superhero universe that will rival Marvel and DC in immediate clout. Well, you could argue that people have already started that with the Cross Overlord and the Cross Overkill, which is basically webcomic superheroes. And I'll put links in the notes if I remember. And number 10, there will be a day when webcomics will just be called comics, and what we know as comics will be called vintage print
frolickery
that Grandpa got from these antiquated places called comic shops and bookstores. There's some good ideas in the webcomic Overlook. I don't think they're all going to be 100% exactly. I can see a push, but not 100%.
Let me ask you guys, when you read these lists, okay, both of these lists, do you see it as here are 10 things that are actually going to happen? I see it more as here are two people who are trying to give a bulleted point list to provoke conversation. That's all I see when I look at this. I don't see anything that made me go, ooh, ah, interesting, needs discussion. I mean, like, I could easily discuss all these points, but I'd, like, articles that have lists of things and say that things are either dead or just starting are what spread on the internet. Like, that's all I see when I look at both of these.
Still, I think it's a very good discussion.
Yeah, I think it's definitely interesting conversations to have.
Mm-hmm. True.
Out in sort of open forums and whatnot.
Next up, Webcomic Beacon's top 10 things. <I'm>
just- Top 10 things to know about Star Trek.
See, what's a more interesting list to me would be top 10 things to know about the past of webcomics. Because the thing is, right now, there's a lot of...
That would be interesting.
Misconception, I think, about how webcomics have gotten to the point that they are. I mean, the truth is that...
I have a book. I have a book that's called The History of Webcomics. I bought it 3 years ago. I could read that book to people if they want.
No, but there's this... Okay, so there's this... I think there's a lot of misconception about how webcomics have gotten to be so popular as they are. And the truth is that a lot of them have gotten as big as they are by attaching themselves to other properties, you know, as much as they try and say otherwise.
What do you mean attaching themselves to other properties? When they started, there weren't any other webcomickers. There were 10.
That's true. There weren't other webcomickers, but there were other websites. Penny Arcade and PvP both were on other gaming sites at some point in their forming. Now, it's hard to say exactly, you know, at what point did things happen in a way, but... You know, that's something that doesn't get talked about very much.
Well, Penny Arcade, it's obvious. Basically, for Penny Arcade, a guy came in on his own will and future ambitions, worked for them for free for 6 months, and said, you know, the website's screwing you because your traffic is a lot higher than this, and you're not getting the dues you're owed. So that's, you know, Penny Arcade is fairly easy to pinpoint these things, but... But, you know, you go back far enough, you know, there's so few of them, so it's easier, and there's a little bit more direct competition now. The audiences are so fragmented. Niche audiences, niche comics are a major thing. Like I said, there's over 15,000 webcomics, and I'm pretty sure 7,000 of them are still updating. But there's a lot!
My boyfriend keeps telling me I need to start a transgendered furry comic.
There's plenty of those already. I'm pretty sure.
There's
cash in on that audience.
There's plenty of every type of webcomic already.
Except mine would be well drawn.
Actually, not that many knitting comics.
I bet you there's at least five.
There's one I know of at least.
Yeah, Knit Princess.
See?
I'm actually friends with that artist too.
I mean, if you know one off the top of your head, chances are you know four that are, you know, tiny.
Well, they're not advertising yet, so I don't see them. And that's, honestly, some people have been asking me, you know, yes, I look at Project Wonderful ads. That is how I find my new comics to read. That or somebody else says, hey, I think you really would like this comic. And this is third-party person doing this, not the other person directly. So, utilize advertising Project Wonderful. I if you have a good ad... And you do like a general campaign for webcomics, you can definitely get some hits that way. Of course, you know, it all depends on whether or not they want to stay, but that's how I find my new comics. Anyway.
But back to the article,
right.
Just a little bit.
Sorry.
You know, just for fun. like, was there anything in here that you guys vehemently disagree with? Either of these lists, or that you would add on your own?
Let's see here. As far as the first on comixology.com, like I said, I don't understand what they mean by there is a canon on, you know, the canon comment. I don't entirely get that.
What that means is that there's a basic sort of default vocabulary in comics. Like, everybody will have read these, or at least knows about enough about them to get like cultural
references. Or enough people
that
you can make reference to something and people will get it. Or you can expect enough people to get it to make the reference safely, you know?
Oh, so you mean to feel like referencing outside of your own comic universe to something else?
Right,
or in general?
So you could make jokes about leveling up and people will understand what that means without having to explain leveling up or something.
Even if they've never played a video game necessarily.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, let's see here. There's a couple. I mean, I don't think that monthly comic books will entirely be dead. I mean, they've been dying for a while, but that's because they're not in grocery stores anymore. But that's been a case that they've been ignoring for years.
Yeah, that's.
People still read them. People still like them. But you know, I think they're moving towards those novel, you know, the graphic novels where they basically take a whole bunch and put them all together in one big book. And maybe with the advent of how DC is putting comics, you know, digitizing their comics and putting them online, maybe they could see a more of a push. I'm not sure. It's dying, definitely. I wouldn't say that they are dead, as this states. Otherwise, most of the Comixology stuff is... It's prophesizing, and I think it's not too far from. I mean, it's a lot of like substantial stuff. It's not so much about the future. It's mostly saying about pretty much how things are going right now. So it's not as much as the webcomic Overlook is more of a look to the future, I would say.
Alex, any you'd like to?
I disagree with the infinite canvas theory.
Yeah, me too.
That it's dead.
I don't think it's ever going to die. I mean, the point of the infinite canvas is that it's sort of breaking out of the page format. And while I think a lot of people still stick to the page format, for ease of printing later, there's still lots and lots of comics that break out of those limitations, like questionable content. I mean, he's putting out a book collection, but still, his comics are like a foot and a half long. So I feel like as long as there are still like successful webcomics that employ that, it's never really going to go away. I feel like even people who do intend to print it someday won't want to always be constrained to the page format.
Well, one thing that doesn't get discussed enough with the infinite canvas, though. Great, we're another podcast talking about the infinite canvas. I feel like there's so many. But one thing that doesn't get talked about is, yes, there's the one canvas, but there's something about the collection of putting them on a website versus the collection of putting them in a book that changes it. Because you have comics like Dinosaur Comics, which, great comic, I think works on a website differently than it works in print.
It'd be cheap to print. How many? I mean, you don't have to make so many different screens, honestly.
But like that challenge of it isn't as interesting in a book as it is online,
right?
Mm-hmm. You know,
I think I can agree with that. Also, you got people that for what they do. There's some comics that like to add a little flair to their existing page comics with some animation. I think the animation in general, just to not dwell on it, I think it works best when it's like minor supplemental, like a looping background thing, or if you have a random lightning flash, something like that. I see seems to work a lot better than where you have a whole panel kind of acting out a bit more before you go to the next panel. But that's arguable, but you can't do that in print, and in some cases, I think it helps a lot for, a nice little extra touch of why you keep, But, I don't think Infinite Canvas will not die, because there's going to be people that want to do something different. I mean, people are always trying to do things differently. Why should they stop?
Exactly.
Though, I mean, already Infinite Canvas has chilled out, because people are like, hey, I can print this, or, a lot of people are having print in mind, so a lot of people aren't, but there's still people that are.
But I think Infinite Canvas has also come to be this like buzz phrase for you know, innovation. It's saying not everything's been done yet. And it's just come to represent that in a way that doesn't actually mean infinite canvas. It means just comics creators aren't done yet, you know?
I guess I never took it as that. I always took infinite canvas as you're not limiting yourself to just the strict print format. I took it differently, I suppose. Also, the other thing on a webcomic overlook where it says video game comics will completely disappear from the web. No. Whenever you... Okay, this is a simple, like, true-false test. If you ever have absolutes, you highly scrutinize that statement. When you say completely disappear, I'm going to say that's bullshit because that's not going to happen. There's still going to be this person or that person still making their own little webcomic about this and that, about basically ripping off Penny Arcade or something like that, you know. I mean, he argues that they'll end up being, like, on Xboxes and Wiis, you know, through their online thing. It's like, I don't think so. They're going to be in as many markets as they can possibly get, especially if they're on those systems. I mean, Penny Arcade is still online and all the other things, as well as elsewhere. Why would they cut out one avenue, one market, you know?
Well, there's actually... did you guys read the Wired article about how the web is dead, but the internet is still alive?
No.
Where they talk about the total percentages of internet traffic and how many of them are going through apps and how many of them are watching videos and how many of them are using, you know, all these other things. They're using the internet connection, but they're not using the web.
Those sons
as
of bitches.
Much percentage-wise as they used to. And they're still watching porn.
Well, priorities. Well,
of course they are.
Like I said, very good discussion, and you can probably check out either one of them. Actually, I'm not sure if there's comments allowed in. But I guess there are.
Yeah, sure, why not?
But it's certainly something to talk about. And, oh, it looks like somebody did mention the crossover kill and crossover lords in the webcomic overlook thing. Yeah. yeah, it's already started, you know, webcomics. I mean, hell, if you want to talk about canon or the whole superheroes thing, you know, it's essentially a matter of, you know, we get in the webcomic, you know, the crossover wars was the absolute biggest mega multi-webcomic crossover event ever, and least I can do was not a crossover. I'm sorry. you claimed to be the biggest crossover ever. I'm sorry, that's not a crossover because the other comics that you involved were not involved. Therefore, it's not a crossover. Those are cameos. Also, you had very, very little. The crossover wars that took place had, like, over 50 direct crossover participants, plus countless cameos and such. Anyway, I'm not bitter, but...
Now, if only we could link it to Satan Elsewhere.
No, absolutely not. Ah, god damn it. That pisses me off. Anyway, I can rant about this more. It's not. I'm not supposed to be talking on this show. It's not about me. I should stop ranting. We should be going.
Let's wrap it up. Wrap up.
Oh, me?
Yeah, you.
Well, fine. Okay, well, next time it's you. Anyway, we are at the end of our time, and I do thank everyone who came to listen to the first Webcomic Beacon newscast in the live show that we have at webcomicbeacon.com/live. We will likely try to add a second show, so it'll be bi-monthly, because there seems to be a lot of stuff to talk about. So stay tuned to webcomicbeacon.com for further developments. Follow us on Twitter at webcomicbeacon. This has been Fess of fessworks.com.
This has also been Roscott of systemcomic.com. And finally,
this is Alex of alexsguide.net.
Tune in for more at webcomicbeacon.com.